Okay, welcome back to hour number two of the Big E Sports Show at Yahoo Sports Radio. We always pride ourselves on delivering the biggest and the best in sports. And earlier this week, I was fortunate to have an opportunity to sit down with the Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle to get the pulse on his Mavs as they are hoping to advance to the playoffs and postseason play. Let's take a listen to my exclusive interview with Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle.
And once again, it is time to roll out the red carpet. That's because we have a very special guest joining us this evening, and that is the Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle. Rick, it is always a true pleasure. Are you ready to take some inventory on your team and have a little give and go?
Why not?
Okay. Well, it is hard to believe that there's only 13 games left in the regular season, and the Dallas Mavericks have certainly orchestrated a tremendous turnaround over the past couple of weeks. Give us a sense of how your team is playing at this critical juncture and in the final home stretch of the regular season.
Well, we've been playing better. We had a skid of three straight losses. Which was tough. A couple of them were against very good teams. And then we lost at Denver, which was a kind of a disastrous effort on our part. But we bounced back and we beat a couple of good teams. You know, we beat Portland and we beat Indiana. And rough one at Golden State. And then we, you know, bounced back against Utah and have played well in recent games. And we just need to keep it going. A lot of people look at the record and the standings and what's happening. I'm more focused on, you know, is the team getting better? You know, are we, you know, making small improvements in areas that we need to improve in? Because if you keep getting better over the course of the season, you know, you'll accomplish your goals in terms of, you know, getting yourself ready to be in the playoffs. And, you know, our goal is not just to get there, but we want to be able to play well enough to advance.
There was a massive overhaul that took place within your roster. We had a chance to preview the season back in September. But one thing that remained constant and true is that your foundation was never fragile. Having players like Dirk and like Sean and Vince, Rick, how instrumental have they been in terms of helping your team get into sync and to move forward?
Well, you're talking about three guys that, you know, are either Hall of Fame or close to it, you know. Marion probably won't be a Hall of Famer, but, you know, if you look at his career and his versatility and everything and what he's done for us, you know, playing two positions, guarding the best player, he's our leading rebounder. He puts points on the board, even though it's a bit unconventional, and he's just a really important guy. And then, you know, Vince and Dirk are great scorers, and they're both playmakers, so, you know, those guys are really crucial. And then, you know, adding Monte Ellis to the mix this year has really helped us because he gives us an element of speed, playmaking, and scoring, and his defense has gotten a lot better. So, you know, those four guys are probably our main guys. And, you know, then, you know, I could keep going. Really, we have kind of like a starting eight or nine guys. You know, Calderon, Harris, Wright, you know, Dalembert and Blair, all these guys have been consistent rotation guys for us all year, and we need what every single one of those guys brings.
There's no doubt at times and during stretches this year that it has been a little bit of a roller coaster ride, and you guys have had a learning curve. How difficult or what have you learned in terms of the DNA of this team and its ability now to compartmentalize mistakes, to move forward, to play in the present, and it seems like that they're really learning to trust each other within the past month?
We're doing some things a lot better. I mean, our rebounding was not good at all. And then, you know, mid-January, we just kind of decided, hey, we got to take this on as a team challenge. And, you know, over the next 6 weeks or so, we were one of the best rebounding teams in the league. Now, we've had some slippage lately. And again, you know, that's possession of the ball, so it's really an important aspect of the game. With the schedule that we have, playing a lot of good teams, you know, a lot of these games are going to be possession games and come down to the end, and rebounding and being able to take care of the ball are critical factors. So, but as far as the things we needed to improve in, you know, one thing that's helped us was getting Harris back, and not just back, but back into condition, into rhythm, because he's a guy that can attack the paint. He's a playmaker. And he can make shots from the perimeter. He's a good defender, you know. So adding him has stabilized our backup guard position. And really, he's, as I said, he's like a de facto starter on our team. And so, you know, that's been big for us. And we just got to keep working at keeping healthy. This time of year, you know, you want to have all the tools in your toolbox ready to go. So that's an ongoing thing. You know, we do a lot of weightlifting. Our training staff is great. And, you know, we try to make sure these guys are as ready as they can be to not just play in the games, but continue to be healthy and get stronger as the season goes along.
You know, the Dallas Mavericks have exceeded expectations on many different levels. And when you step back and look at the structure of your roster, I like the fact that it bends, but it doesn't break. You have a lot of flexibility. You can play big. You can play against a Hibbert or a Howard or a Varejao or a Lopez, or you guys can play against guys that de-emphasize the post play and play small ball. I guess you really have to tip your hat to your owner, Mark Cuban, and to Donnie Nelson, just how they assembled and put this together. And as a result, you've been able to maximize your assets.
Yeah, I like the team. The only question was, you know, it was 9 new guys, and how long it would take to kind of get everybody together and develop chemistry. And, you know, those things take time, but, you know, we're 60-some games into this thing, and now it's, you know, it's time to stop talking about being a new team. And yeah, we do have good versatility. You know, Marion really helps us because he can play in the big or small scenarios. You know, Wright can play when teams downsize. He's quick and he can play guys in the perimeter if we want to get into switching and things like that. And you know, we need to be able to do that in this day and age in the league, because everybody's, you know, at some point in games going small and putting 4 3-point shooters out there and going up and down with it.
You know, offensively, that really is the identity for the Dallas Mavericks. You guys average 104 points per game. You're 8th in the league. But when you look at the success that you've had against some of the heavyweights within the NBA, Oklahoma City, Portland, the Pacers, it really has been predicated upon what you've done defensively. Against Portland in that first quarter, you locked down the D, tightened the screws, and held them to 10 points in that first quarter. Can you just talk about what has been the key for your defensive success as of late and sustaining it?
Well, we need to sustain it better. You know, we have the ability when we're tied together and we're really locked into what our coverages are. We've got to be very detail oriented. You have to be, you know, playing in a, with kind of a hit first mode. When we're locked in and tied together, you know, we have the ability to be not only a solid defensive team, but a good defensive team. And you know, we just we want to keep building that in the direction of consistency, and we've had more of it lately in recent games. But it's an ongoing battle, you know, to keep guys locked in. You know, a lot of different kinds and types of teams coming in here. A lot of very skilled teams, you know, teams like Minnesota with Love, who can, you know, shoot 30-foot threes, and he can post on the inside, and he can make mid-range shots, and he's a great rebounder, and Rubio, who causes all kinds of problems. And you know, we're going to see every different kind of player imaginable during the stretch, and we're going to have to be ready.
You know, you bring up a great point, because not to be condescending, but this team seems like it's not comprised of a ton of lockdown defenders. You mentioned Sean Marion, what he does defensively. So it's really, really paramount that you guys are all pulling on the same road. You're being communicative defensively, and that you are talking.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at our team analytically coming into the season, it's a collection of guys that have been very good offensive players in the league, but not a lot of lockdown defensive guys. I mean, Marion is one of the best perimeter defensive guys. You know, Dallenberry has been a good analytics guy because he's a rim protector. But, you know, we knew, and, you know, the night I met with the team in this very room, you know, before our season started, the night before training camp, I said, look, our challenge is going to be to become a very good collective defensive team. I said, because look around, we don't have a bunch of lockdown guys here, but we have the ability to show an early crowd, show a lot of help, scramble, and we have length and we can rebound. And so, you know, we've got to be able to do those things. And, you know, during a lot of stretches, we've been pretty good And again, we're working, you know, at that consistency. Now we're coming down the stretch run of the season.
How big of a challenge is that for you and your coaching staff to pull that out of guys? Because from what I've observed, my time in the locker room or watching them warm up, you have more of an introverted group, softer spoken personalities, and you need you guys out there to be chattering, especially in defensive transition, so they're not missing assignments, or in half court helping out the helper.
That's true. The personality of the team is, you know, we don't have a lot of type A personality kind of guys. But we've got a lot of good players, and we've got a lot of experienced guys, and we've got guys that want to win. And so, you know, imploring the guys to find ways to be more talkative. When you talk on defense, it creates energy. It creates togetherness, things like that. We've gotten better with those things. And when your team isn't necessarily wired that way, you know, you gotta think up things and come up with ways to get guys talking about the game, talking about coverages. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we ask guys what they feel the best coverage is, so to get them invested in it. And when they're invested in it, then they're gonna be more aggressive and more, I think, outspoken, you know, during games with what we're doing. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that kind of go into, you know, game plans from night to night. But the bottom line is, you know, we're in a tight playoff race. Every win counts. Every minute of every game counts. I think our guys understand that.
Anytime I spend time around listening to you at the press conferences, you talk so much about the big three in order for you guys to be successful: defense, rebounding, minimizing turnovers. At this point in the season, what are still some of those discernible shortcomings and areas that you've got to clean up and edit out, as you were talking about, not only to advance to the playoffs, but to be able to make a deep run?
Well, you know, in our game against Boston recently, you know, we got beat on the boards horribly. You know, we got beat by close to 20 boards and, you know, gave up 21 offensive rebounds. Now, the first time we played them, you know, a month or so ago, we out-rebounded them. So, we have the ability to do it, you know, but we were fortunate to win the game at home, even though we got hit hard on the boards. So, I mean, there's an example of, you know, the rebounding thing again. It's just, it is so huge, because you give an opponent a chance to get the ball out of the air, you know, a shot that they have taken. Now they have a chance to either put it back in, or even worse, kick it out for an open three, you know, and now it's becomes a 5 or 6 point swing potentially when you don't get the rebound. So rebounding, I always talk about, it's not a real sexy topic, but it's like, it is such a paramount part of being successful in getting to the playoffs and winning in the playoffs.
The one player we definitely have to highlight tonight, of course, is Dirk. And I thought it was very interesting, your former assistant coach, Terry Stotts, who now, of course, is the head coach with the Portland Trail Blazers. He had shared that his belief that perhaps Dirk is the most improved player in the league this year. Do you agree?
He was hurt last year, you know, and had to get through, you know, a knee scope and not only the rehab, but then getting back into condition and getting back into rhythm. And, you know, he's never gone through anything quite like that. And so that was difficult. And look, he's not a young guy anymore. I mean, he's 35. And the fact that he's been able to ramp it back up to, you know, to Dirk-type levels this year, and, you know, he's an all-star, and it wasn't close. I mean, he was a guy that, you know, was going to be an all-star because of how he played. His minutes are down. His production per minute is probably up. And he has huge impact on our team.
Is it a challenge for you to not exceed his minutes? Because I was looking at what he's averaging, 32 minutes per game, because that's got to be a little bit tempting, as I was just talking about, you know, when he has that capability of still hitting those big shots and making those game winners.
Well, look, you know, we can go above 32 minutes from time to time. I mean, that's okay to do. It's just, you know, if you keep him on the floor at the expense of, you know, not having him rested, you know, he's not going to shoot the ball well if he's exhausted. And so the intervals of rest are really important. Some of that stuff you can manipulate with timeouts. Some games are faster than others. Some games are slower. National TV games have 3-minute timeouts, which really help. Guys like Dirk and Vince and Sean Marion and guys that are the older guys. But there's a variety of fluid factors, and it's not just as simple as leaving them out there, you know, for more minutes and expecting him to do, you know, the same thing. He's got to have the right amount of rest, otherwise it just doesn't work.
Again, a very special thank you to the Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle, a team that has certainly proven all season long they are more than capable to compete and close out with some of the very best in the NBA. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with much more at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Join us online at eradiosports.com. We will be right back.